This is Dr. Greg Thomas, and I am so excited once again to host the God's Modern Day Millionaires Talk Show. I am so glad you have taken time to tune in today, because you are truly going to be blessed by our guest today. And this is a young lady, my God, she is so impressive. I mean, for someone that I think is a modern day millionaire, she's just like Abraham. Abraham, as you probably already know, you know, he left his father's country, and he left everything, all of his surroundings, all of his familiar people, family, friends, just to obey the voice of God. You know, when we read about Abraham, Prophet Isaiah said that Abraham was a friend of God. Abraham was a man that demonstrated his love for God through his obedience. And you know what? That's exactly what our guest did. She was obedient to hear the voice of God. God told her to go to Vermont. And praise God, I'm not going to tell you all of her story. I'm going to leave it up to her. But she left in being obedient to what God said. And my God, it was such a blessing to see what God did in her life. But of course, she ran into some challenges. And the biggest challenge she ran into was that she became homeless and without a place to live, no job, no income. And wow, I am so excited about how God just used her. And promoted her. And so what I want to do right now is to bring her on. Well, good afternoon. This is Dr. Greg Thomas, and I am so excited that you have tuned in. We seem to be having some technical difficulties. I believe we're coming on now. And I have Sapphire, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Great. Sapphire, I sure hope we're on, because they did connect me, but I'm not hearing anything on the radio. Well, good. Okay. Well, I think we got it lit now. Okay. Well, I'm so happy you're on, Sapphire. You know, last week we had some challenges where our time was moved, and unknowingly we were scheduled to come on at 5:30, and it was shifted to 11:30. And the guest was so gracious to still come on. We had a great show. And I know this is going to be a great, great show. So welcome to God's Modern Day Millionaires. You know, I was saying earlier that, you know, you're just like Abraham. You know, Abraham, praise God, he first of all, he was known as a friend of God. And he was a father of the faithful. And he was known as a man that demonstrated his love for God just by being obedient. And, you know, that's what you did. You know, you left your home in Houston, Texas, because you heard the voice of God telling you to go to a city where you had never lived before. You had only visited there for a short period of time. But something happened that you fell in love with the city, and you heard the voice of God telling you to go back. And so we welcome you today to God's Modern Day Millionaire Talk Show. Welcome.
For having me. Thank you very much for having me. It's an honor, really, because I'm a fan of your daily devotional. So.
Yes. And you know what? That's what God, you know, you are the epitome of what God's Modern Day Millionaires is all about. You know, there are individuals like yourself who are passionate, you know, about God. You know, they're passionate about the call of God. They're passionate about whatever it is that God has created them to do, their purpose in life. And you know what else? But they have compassion on the multitudes. And you know, when you're passionate about what God has called you to do, you listen to the voice of God and you say, okay, God, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. And that's what you did. And you got there and something happened. I understand that you became homeless. So before you get into that, could you just share a little bit about your business background and your work in the community?
Yes, I have a degree in engineering, and I moved to Phoenix. I was working as an engineer, but I started volunteering in the community with underserved families, underserved youth with learning challenges, and that really ignited my passion, because I've always liked helping people. I've been a tutor since I was 8 or 9 years old. And my passion has always been in helping people. And that was really the beginning of my volunteer work in the community. And as I got older, or more time passed, I began working with homeless individuals, ironically, and just other families in need. And I resigned following the voice of God as an engineer with no savings, et cetera. That's a story for another time. And I ended up in Europe for 2 years on this journey of self-discovery and self-healing, but also really tuning into God, my connection with God, so that I can understand what my true calling was. Why was I here? And during that time, I had already received a vision for my business, which was Shalom Healing Homes, and that was doing personal transformation education. And so during the 2 year period in Europe, I really cultivated that, and when I and started growing that business. And when I returned to the States, I also returned to school to earn my master's degree, because I realized that while I was doing one-on-one life coaching, spiritual coaching, what was needed was a program that would really educate people on how to transform their personal and professional challenges into triumphs. But I didn't know how to do that technically. So I went back to school, earned my master's degree, and as God would have it, he revealed more of his plan to me. And at the end of that, I founded the International Freedom Coalition, which is the nonprofit God gave me the vision for. And I reorganized Shalom Healing Homes to be the for-profit arm, fundraising arm for the nonprofit, which put me out of a job, because my spiritual contract with God is anything that I do for the coalition is strictly volunteer. I can earn $0. So that's my story in a nutshell.
So you heard God's voice and you left Houston. Tell us what happened.
When I graduated from grad school, I came to Newport, Rhode Island on a complete, it was just a divine intervention, because I was looking for some place to go on vacation, because the school was so intense. And I don't know, I think I was doing a search on lighthouses, because I love lighthouses. And I remember a colleague of mine telling me, oh, you need to go to Rhode Island, there are so many lighthouses. So I remember just looking up lighthouses, Rhode Island, and I saw that there was this tour, this lighthouse tour, and it was out of Newport. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go there. And of course, I get here. It's December, and the tour doesn't run in December. But and so completely missed that boat. But once I arrived here, the energy was so grounding for me. Barcelona, Spain did that for me, and that's why I stayed over there for 2 years. Yes. And Newport did it as well, and I just knew, it's like, oh, God, I want to come live here. This is great. But I had already started, the plans for the coalition's first campaign, which is called Walk a Week in Their Shoes, where I was literally walking around the U.S. to gather families, stories of families, how they keep their family strong and together and overcome adversity. So I went back to Houston, started the walk. My mother became ill, and I didn't know if she was going to have heart surgery or whatever, so I stopped the walk. And also because she was freaking out and I didn't want to give her a heart attack sooner. And so then I'm going, okay, God, now what? And I'm just there in Houston, you know, waiting to see what the outcome was going to be with my mother. And then finally in September, God just said, it's time for you to go. And I said, where am I going? He goes, you know where. I said, Newport. He said, yes. And so I I didn't even have the money to buy a one-way plane ticket. The ticket was $121.
Wow.
And I had $116 credit limit on my credit card because, mind you, I'm just getting out of graduate school. And I cannot earn anything from my business because it's been reorged. And so maybe 2 days later, God said, check the flight again. You need to buy it today. I'm going, yes, but I still don't have any more money. I checked the flight. The flight went down just enough to $114. So I had an extra $2 credit limit on my card. So
wow.
And a month later, I packed up my little travel suitcase, the little small one, and I went on a plane and came to Newport.
So
and
you packed up with everything you had that you could carry, and you ended up in Newport. And, you know, I know we only have about 10 minutes, and so I'm really excited about this because, you know, I've kind of been following you, you know, for a while, you know, and hearing all the wonderful testimonies. And so you ended up being homeless, and then you fell in love with you because of your passion and being so compassionate for people. You found some things that were going on, some injustices that were happening to the homeless. Could you share your experiences?
Yes. As soon as I did the intake to go into the shelter, red flags were raised. In the intake, the counselor asked me if I had any addictions, disabilities, mental health issues, et cetera, et cetera. My answers were no. And so she said, well, have you ever been depressed or anything? I was like, sure. You know, back in the 90s, I was really depressed. I was suicidal and, you know, and I was an alcoholic.
They're trying to label you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's what she did. She wrote on my intake form long-term mental illness, suicide ideation, and she wouldn't take it off. And
wow.
No matter how much I protested, I stopped protesting. Exactly. Because I needed a bed. You know, I couldn't sleep on the street. And it went on from there. I was harassed, intimidated, and bullied by the security guards who were hired to keep us safe, ironically. More such instances where with the labeling was happening with the counselors. And, you know, each time, of course, I stood my ground. No, 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 this isn't true. This isn't true. Finally, I woke up with God giving me the vision for this Bill of Rights for the Homeless. And
yes.
And I wrote it out, and it's a 24-point bill that outlines principles for treating people who are receiving services in a homeless shelter with dignity and respect that is afforded other people outside of the shelter, and particularly other vulnerable people such as patients in a nursing home. It's illegal to treat
yes.
them in any manner other than with dignity and respect. And actually, part of that language from that law I used in drafting this Bill of Rights, because what's happening is once you enter the homeless shelter, all bets are off. You're no longer a human being. You are a person that can be oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, what I saw was I read, God led me to Dr. King. I have a book of Dr. King's at home in Houston. And I didn't, of course, I didn't have it with me. So I was going to the library to get it, and I couldn't find it. But there was another one. Where do we go from here? Chaos or Community. The first 20
yes.
pages, I read the book. And if you replace the Negro with the homeless Dr. King in 1967, I believe that book was published, is describing the unfair treatment of the homeless that's going on today that I experienced firsthand and that I witnessed. And what he does in there, he describes the peculiar institution of slavery and how one historian read through all of these slave masters' documents and narrowed came up with 5 steps for training a good slave. Well, those 5 steps I saw being put into practice in that homeless shelter. So what people who are working in that particular shelter, and I am going to venture out to say that this is systemic because I had other experiences outside of that shelter. So what people are doing who are working in these social services, providing these services, are treating people experiencing homeless as if they are psychological mental slaves. And that is the human rights travesty that's going on.
Yes.
And it's all based around labeling. It's all based around
misconceptions and a lot of discrimination, a lot of abuse.
Right, and belittling, undermining one's self-expectations and self-concept. And this is what I did my final research project on in grad school, is this idea of the self-concept, self-expectations, and the self-fulfilling prophecy. So when a person comes in and they are treated the way I was, where, oh no, forget your successes, forget your education, forget the fact that you just need a job. Nope, we're going to label you and that's all you're going to be.
It keeps them in the system. Yes.
Exactly. And unless someone is strong enough to oppose, they succumb to others' expectations, and it undermines their self-expectations, which undermines their motivation, which then keeps them in the system, which then costs donors, taxpayers, and government agencies at all levels more money than is necessary.
Wow. You know, Safari, this is amazing. You know, this. We want to just thank you so much, you know, for your commitment, you know, to the homeless and writing the bill, you know, because it's necessary.
Right.
And I know that you're very, very persistent. You know, we will have you back on in the future. But let's kind of, we have about 4 minutes, and I just want the listening audience to know where you are now. You know, are you still on the street, or do you have a job? Do you have an income? You know, what are you doing now?
I have no job, no income, and I am still homeless. I'm living in a transitional housing unit, which is a 12-by-8 room. And
Wait a minute. You have a master's degree. You've been the CEO of your own businesses, and you're on the street. You're homeless.
Yes I am.
Wow.
And I'm also now serving on the executive committee of the largest and most influential civil rights organization in the nation, on the executive committee for the Providence branch of this national organization that everyone knows as the NAACP. And I am still homeless.
Yes. You know, God's got something great in store for you, Safar, and I know that the listening audience, you know, they will certainly keep you in their prayers. We will continue to pray. Now, what do you need the listening audience to do?
Well, there are several things that people can do. One, you can start, you know, looking at your local churches and nonprofits who are addressing the immediate needs. For instance, here locally, you have Channon Memorial Church, the Housing First Program, Housing Hotline, Turnaround Ministries, Mobile Loaves and Fishes. They're all doing great work. But to take that beyond, we need to take legislative action. And that is starting to write to your congressman, no matter where you are, if you're in Rhode Island or any other state, and ask for support for this Bill of Rights for the homeless. It can be accessed on our website at walkaweekinyourshoes.com.
Would you say that again?
Walkaweekinyourshoes.com. That's the name of our campaign for the International Freedom Coalition. And
wonderful.
Thirdly, we are working, the coalition is producing a documentary on this issue from a human rights aspect. We're in pre-production, and we have a development team, a great development team in place, a budget in place, and now we're fundraising and we're seeking political support from local leaders, taxpayers, elected officials, national advocacy organizations, and because we have terrific goals in mind for distribution to not only help support this Bill of Rights prior to the next elections, but also to educate Americans that this isn't a them thing, this is a us thing. 6 million Americans right now are living in a doubled up situation, meaning they're living with families and friends. Anyone living in a doubled up situation is more likely to become homeless than a person leaving prison.
Wow. Well, Sapphire, thank you so much for coming on today and being our guest and sharing all of your experiences and what's going on. And to the listening audience, again, you know, you can reach Sapphire with the website that you already, an email address. You have an email address again?
Yes, the email address is info@strongfamiliesnow.org.
Thank you very much. And to the listening audience, stay tuned. For next week, we are going to be blessed by Angel Johnson, and she's with the ministry called Experiences Freedom. Wow, this is another powerful woman of God, and she'll be talking about her passion in helping individuals in Kenya. You don't want to miss it. This is exciting. She's going to talk about one of the things is how you help people deal with the struggles that they face within. Take care, and God bless you. We'll see you again next week.